3. The guest of honor. Now stop and look at what is standing there before anybody is standing in it. The house is finished. The lamps are lit and hung. The water is in its place and behaving itself. The floor is green. The table is loaded to the edges with fruit that nobody has picked, and there are birds going over it and beasts standing in it up to the knee in grass that has never been trodden. And it is empty. Feel that the way you feel a house on the evening of a wedding, when the lamps are burning and the bread is out and the door is standing open and the one it was all done for has not yet come up the road. He was not an afterthought. He was not a repair. And he was not a servant fetched in at the end because the owner had grown tired. He was the reason for the house. El Elyon built the whole of it first and furnished it and lit it and then went out and made him. And in Ramoth they had worked out by now what the gap was for. They had watched the sky stretched over the water and the space held open in the middle of it, and they are not slow. And a room held open and empty is a room made for someone. But not one of them knew who, and no watcher in all the record was ever told beforehand. They leaned out over the rim and looked down into a finished and furnished and perfectly empty world, and they waited. And down at the bottom of everything, with his face turned up through the floor, so did the other one. Both kingdoms were standing at the window on the 6th afternoon, and neither of them knew. And that is the only hour in the whole chronicle when the two of them were doing exactly the same thing. And then Most High El Elyon stooped. There is no politer word, and we will not go looking for one. The maker of the sea of glass and the sapphire throne, before whom the burning ones hide their own faces in their own wings, went down on his knees in the wet dirt of a new world, on a riverbank, on the 6th afternoon of everything, and put his hands into the mud. He took up a double handful of it. He worked it, the way a woman works dough on a board, with the heel of the hand. And out of that, El Elyon made a shape. And the shape had a face, and hands with the lines already in the palms, and eyelids, and a mouth. And it lay there in the mud, finished and perfect and entirely dead, the most beautiful thing that had ever been made, and the only thing in the world that could not stand up. And he called him after the stuff he took him out of. In the old speech, the word for the red ground is Adama, and the word for the man is Adam. And there is no gap between them at all. Every soul who has ever heard that name has heard the field in it. He is dust. He is ground. He is a handful of a riverbank with a face on it, red clay and grit and a little sand, the same stuff we dig out of this canal bank and square off and dry in the sun for bricks. And in Ramoth, they were looking at a creature made of the cheapest thing in the world. And the watchers are made of fire and light, and had never in their lives touched anything that could crumble. And the name goes with him the whole way down. The ground will be cursed for his sake, and the ground will open its mouth and drink his son's blood, and the ground will take him back at the end and keep him forever. The greatest creature ever made in the three worlds is named after what a man scrapes off his sandal at the door. El Elyon never once lets him forget it. He never once seems the least bit ashamed of it either. Then he bent down over the thing he had made and put his face to its face and breathed. We have no way to tell you what that was. It is the tenderest thing in all the writings, and the record gives it 8 words and walks on. He did not shout at it from a height. He did not strike it a light from across the valley. He did not send anybody. He came close, closer than a man comes to another man in his whole life, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, mouth to mouth, the way a shepherd breathes into a newborn lamb that has come and will not start. And the clay drew in the breath of God. The warmth went along the grey of it, and it turned living, and the chest lifted, and the fingers moved in the mud, and the eyes came open. In Ramoth, every voice stopped. The burning ones put their wings over their faces, which is what they do when they cannot look at a thing, and they were not covering themselves from the glory this time. They were covering themselves from the sight of the glory going down into a lump of wet earth by a river. And the first sight that any human being ever saw, the very first thing to arrive at the very first pair of eyes, was the face of El Elyon bending over him from a hand's breadth away. And man became a living soul. And that was the hour the war began, though not a blow was struck in it. The reason the enemy hates you was set down at the door of this scroll, and it will not be said twice in the same words, because the thing to have now is not the argument but the sight of it, a ruined creature lying on his back in a cold pit with his face turned up, watching. He saw the knees go down into the mud, he saw the mouth come down to the mouth, and he saw the king of everything put his own life into a worm that was an hour old. On the house. Without an examination, without a probation, without so much as a question asked, and he himself had gone through a war and a fall and the loss of his own name for daring to reach at it. It was not envy. Envy would have been a mercy to him. It was a sum that would not come out. And he has been standing in front of that sum ever since, with the ledger open. And there is no column in the book, and he cannot put the book down, and he cannot make it balance, and he will still be trying at the end of the world. And El Elyon made him in his own image. Now the nations carve that, every one of them, and every one of them gets it wrong. A beast, or a king, or a fat little idol with a hole in the back of it, because they think the likeness is in the shape. Our own fathers stood at the foot of a burning mountain, and the voice came out of the fire and gave them not one thing to copy. Ye saw no manner of similitude, it says, in the day that the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. The likeness was never in the shape. It was in this, that the mud could answer, that you could set it in a room with its maker, and something would pass between them. A word going one way and a word coming back, which is a thing not one grain of the rest of creation can do. And the burning ones on the rim, who are older than the light and have never been anything but a likeness of his fire, looked down at a creature made of riverbank that had been given the one thing they were not and did not understand it. And in the pit there was a joke that Abaddon has never once laughed at. One creature reached at the likeness of Most High El Elyon and was thrown out of the high places for the reaching, and lost his light and his name and his country in the fall. And the next creature was handed the likeness in the mud for nothing before it had done a day's work. He tried to buy it, and it was given away. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. The two of them together are the image, and neither one of them is the whole of it standing alone. What is undivided in him is shown out here in two, and it takes the pair to make the likeness. The nations put a god in every field and give him a wife and a temper and a quarrel with his neighbors. El Elyon made one likeness of himself in the whole round world, and it took a man and a woman to be it. And he told the two of them to be fruitful, and to fill the earth, and to subdue it, and to have dominion over it. And the watchers heard a thing given away that afternoon that had never been given to them in all their ages. For no watcher was ever told to fill anything, or to subdue anything, or to have dominion over so much as a blade of grass. It was not a chain, and it was not a warning. It was a father putting the keys of the whole house into a boy's hand on the first evening and saying, "The whole of it, go on." Then he gave him a work, and the work was a kind of kingship. He brought the beasts to him, every one of them, and stood there while the man named them. The maker of the leopard, walking the leopard up to a creature 2 hours old and waiting to hear what he would call it. Whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. He did not correct him. He did not overrule a single one of them. He handed the naming of the world to a thing made of dirt and let him say the words. And the words stuck. And they have stuck ever since, so that the sound a herdsman makes in this country when he calls a goat off a bank is a noise a man in a garden thought of on his first afternoon. And the watchers stood on the rim and looked at that and said nothing. They had been made 10,000 times 10,000, and not one of them had ever been asked to name anything, and not one of them ever would be. And here is what was given, and what was kept back. He was given the naming of every living thing under heaven. He was never given the naming of God. That is the one name a man does not get to choose. And down in Abaddon, there was a creature listening to it, a creature whose name is the ruin now, among others we shall soon say, but who had the beautiful name of Lucifer in Ramoth, and lost it, and is now called after his trade these days like a hangman. And he lay under the floor of the world and heard a thing made of mud handing out names all afternoon. And something turned over in him that has not stopped turning since. He has spent every age of the world trying to get a name back, and he takes what he can get. Adversary, destroyer, lord of the flies. Not one of them is beautiful, and every one of them is deserved. But it was in that same work that the ache came up in the man, and El Elyon meant it to. They came to him two and two, out of the long grass and the shallows, the lion and the lioness, the ox and the cow, the hawk and his mate, turning together on the same wind over the same field. And the man stood in the middle of a full world and named the whole of it. And there was not found a help meet for him. It is the first sorrow ever felt by a human being. And it was felt in a garden with nothing wrong in it and no serpent in it yet and nothing broken anywhere. It is not good, said El Elyon, that the man should be alone. It is the first time in the whole record that anything at all is called not good. And it is not a wicked thing, and it is not a spoiled thing. It is a good man by himself. He was not lonely because something had gone wrong. He was lonely because he was finished, and she had not come yet. And out along his branch, the ruined one heard El Elyon say, not good over a thing El Elyon had made. And sat up and turned it over, and has been working on that one sentence ever since. For if he can get a soul to believe there is one thing lacking, he does not have to persuade it of anything else. And El Elyon caused a deep sleep to fall upon him, and opened his side, and took a rib out of the man, and closed up the flesh again. And out of the bone he built a woman. He did not go back to the riverbank for another handful, and nobody at this fire has ever got over it, and none of us will pretend otherwise. The dirt was lying right there. He could have made her the same way, and she would have been just as much his. Instead, he went into the man and took something out of him and made her out of it, so that she came from under his arm and from beside his heart and out of the middle of his own body. And when the man woke and saw her standing in the light with the grass to her ankles, he did not say a careful thing. He said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. That is the first poem in the world, a man looking at a woman. And the watchers heard it, and there is no marrying in Ramoth, and there never has been. And they had nothing whatever to set beside it. The second poem in the world is in the scroll after this one, and it was sung by a murderer about a killing to his two wives. And they were naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. And a later telling will stand on that sentence with its whole weight. They were not ashamed, and it was not because they were too simple to know what a body is. Our fathers handed it down, and it is their saying, and nothing in this chronicle rests upon it, that they were not bare at all in the way a man is bare when the wind gets in under his cloak. They said that a light lay on them, like a garment, a robe of glory, the same light that comes off the watches and out of the face, and that they wore it and never once thought about it, the way you do not think about your own skin. If that is so, then what came later was not that they noticed their bodies. It was that the lamp went out, and they stood in the dark of themselves for the first time, and saw what they were wearing, which was nothing at all. Then El Elyon planted a garden. He had made a whole round world, and he made one place in it that was better than the rest, and he put the man there. And it is eastward, in a country called Eden, which means delight. And it is the ground we will walk over in the next telling, and it is the ground none of us will ever stand on. And the Irin came down and stood about the edges of it, and the ruined one moved for the first time since the fall, and came up out of the pit and went toward it. And he did not go in, because he was not permitted to go in, not yet, not in his own person, and not on his own feet. So he went and lay along a branch outside the wall and looked in and waited, for he is a patient thing and he can wait a very long time. And there it all stood, a garden and a man in it, and the burning ones at the edge of it, and a pair of eyes in a tree. That is the Marchlands, and it has never once changed its shape since. And then Most High El Elyon rested. Not because he was weary, for he does not faint, and is not made dim, and had not spent so much as a breath he could not spare, and not because the work had been too much for him. He rested because the work was finished, and he looked at it, and he was glad, and he sat down in the middle of what he had made. And then he did the thing we have never come to the bottom of, though we have turned it over by this fire more nights than there are stars in this flat black sky of ours. He gave the rest away. He took the seventh day and blessed it and set it apart and handed it whole to a creature that was one day old and had not done a stroke of work in its life. There is no rest in Abaddon. There never has been and there never will be, for rest is a gift, and the ruin has never received one and cannot make one. And a creature who has nothing given him has nothing to stop working for. That is why the pit does not sleep. And El Elyon finished the work himself, with his own two hands, in a week, in the mud. And then he lay down in the cool of the evening under a tree he had made, on grass he had made, beside water he had made. And he called the man over to lie down beside him.